tired this morning. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the bondage I'm facing. But when we begin to lift up a shout of praise in the midst of our circumstance, when we begin to say, I may be struggling this morning, I may be tired, I may be sick, but I can lift my hands. I may be weary this morning, but I can give glory to my King. I may not be able to move my body much, but I can lift my voice. And so for right now, for 15 seconds, for 20 seconds, can we just say, Father, you are worthy. Father, I give you honor. Father, I give you praise, for you are so good. My circumstance does not tell me how good you are, but God, you are worthy. I give you honor. I give you praise. Have your way in this place. Have your way. Be glorified in Jesus' name.
Because of who, and I worship you because because you're holy, holy. I worship you because holy is who you are. I worship you because you're faithful, faithful. I worship you because faithful is who you are. I worship you because you're mighty, mighty. I worship you because mighty is who you are.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. We will give you glory. 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 Sing that out.
We will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory.
We will give
you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory.
Giving him the glory, but sometimes we struggle giving him our problems and our hurts. He is just as willing to receive our problems, to receive our hurts, as he is to receive the glory that we are going to give him. He is willing and he is able to move in every single one of our needs. And so right now we have a list of needs that we are going to bring forth in prayer, and we have some needs that will be on the overhead, that believing that God is going to move today. That we have Beverly Hamill. Continue to pray for the Cochran family. We have Carson Rayleigh, Paula Foster, Cody Sullivan, Lorraine Atkins, Brenda Black, Dickie Ewing, Danny Bramlett, and Geraldine Osmus. And I believe that somebody is going to feel a touch today.
Yes.
We know because we've read of stories. We know because we've seen it in our lives that God is a miracle working God, that in an instant he can heal. We know that. And we've been told, scripture has told us that he is a miracle working God, that he is a healing God. But also he said that I will come and I will be a comforter. Say, I will heal you. I will move in your life. I will bring you through this. But until I do, until the very moment you receive that miracle, that healing, that deliverance, I will be a comforter to you in that moment. So if you're hurting right now and you're looking for that healing, we're praying for your healing today. We're expecting healing. But I expect you to feel a comfort today until you experience it. So if you need a comfort today, if you need a peace today, if you need God to move in your body, mind, or spirit, I encourage you to come forward. Ministers are going to anoint you with oil, pray with you and for you, and God is going to move in your mind, your body, and your spirit in Jesus' name. So, Father, I exalt you because of who you are, not because of what I'm going through, not because of what I'm facing today. God, I trust in you because you are more powerful than anything I can ever come up against. You are greater than anything that's ever come against me. You are greater than any sickness. You are greater than any hurt. You are greater than any depression, any anxiety, any bondage. God, you are above it all. So right now, I'm humbling myself and I am praying to you and asking you, God, to heal our land, to heal our body, to heal our minds, to do what you said you will do. In Jesus' name, move throughout this entire congregation from the front to the back. In Jesus' name.
Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
God sing hallelujah.
have some announcements before our tithes and our offering is taken. We have, if you've seen on our slides going, we've made announcements. Our 2024 church beautification pledge drive is underway. Opportunities for us to improve the outward appearance of our church with painting the church, to get a new roof put on, to get new bushes around the front, to make it very beautiful, to beautify. And we are very excited. And so what we have done is we have a goal of $200,000 that we are looking to raise to be able to perform these projects, to get these done. And we have, it's very easy, it's very cool to be able to scan. You see the little QR code with the cute dinosaur in it. And you can scan it with your camera, and you will see a little yellow button pop up on your camera screen, on your phone. You'll click it, and it gives you the opportunity to say, I want to give weekly, I want to give bi-weekly, I want to give monthly donations to this pledge to go directly into this fund so we can further our church, to further the building of this church, and to continue to beautify it. So if you are interested at all in giving, if you have any questions, reach out to Sister Lisa Calico, to Sister Mary Lou, and then get some answers to you about that. But we are excited about the moving forward of the church, but the church building as well. And so we are excited about that. I may be the only one. Am I the only one excited? There we go. Okay, got a little nervous. It's just me. That $200,000 ain't going to get there quick. But we have May events also coming up that we have on the 12th is going to be Mother's Day. So make sure you are there for that. And we have on the 19th is going to be our Youth Sunday on the evening service, but it's also our graduation service. It is Senior Sunday, May the 19th. That is the third Sunday of the month. It won't be the second like Youth Sunday typically is. It will be the third. So it's going to be on the 19th. So on our evening service, or if our graduates coming, we'll be able to honor those graduates. We'll be able to have them give their speeches, have their slideshows, and then afterwards have a reception in the family center where we can celebrate them further with cake and with snacks. And so seniors, start getting your pictures together for your slideshows. We will be sending out a paper, some info about that, so you can get that turned in to us, so we can get that service rolling. But mark your calendars on the 19th for that. And then on the 28th, our Ladies United Night of Worship. And that's going to be exciting on the 28th. So make sure you're planning an event for that. The 28th as Ladies United Night of Worship. And then we also have our Mother's Memorial Pledge Card. The offering is due July the 1st. Simply just fill out the card, place it in the offering plate. And also, if you want to sponsor a foreign Bible school student for $200, please just note that on the pledge card. And then also, so talking about Mother's Day, you know, that is coming up. That is this next Sunday. So we'll be receiving a special Mother's Memorial offering that we have been talking about, and the amount, though, of your mother's birthday. So if your mother was born on the 1st, she did you good. $1. 31st, 31. And so it is a great way to kind of give honor, you know, to your mother and through your offering. And so that we'll be taking that up next week. And then also we'll be having gifts for all of the mothers, all of the ladies there. So make sure you're there. It's always just a phenomenal service, our Mother's Day service. It is always really exciting. And so then also on Wednesday, if you've been seeing this, if you've been attending, we are having our split sessions here. Who's been enjoying our split sessions? Yeah. The men will be in one session, the women and the ladies in the other, a split session this Wednesday night. Make sure you are there for that. Split sessions are always phenomenal to bond together like that. Make sure you are there at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And then so now, that is it for our announcements. We'll have our ushers come to take our tithes and our offering. Father, thank you for the presence we've already felt in this place. I pray that you continue to move. I pray you bless what's given and bless the giver and anoint the word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne. Abba, Father, the well that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be forever. Holy is the Lord.
every power necessary for whoever is in the building. Whatever your need is, I want to tell you, here's what he says. Enter into his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. And then when you understand the book of Esther, the king, which is our King Jesus, if he don't hold out the scepter, death is imminent. No possibles. But when he holds out the scepter or introduces his word and spirit into the place, there is total freedom for every victory needed in this house right now. No matter what it is, there is a glory cloud that comes from the promise of the King. We are thrilled as you stand together to have a police officer preaching. That's where he got some of his start. He understands authority, and he preaches the word of authority. And I am so honored, and we are honored, to have him and his wife and their... How many children you got already? Three. And God only knows what the end is. We are thrilled. Would you make welcome to this pulpit today our honored youth president from the state of Texas, and got one of our girls, and now he knows what Paris is all about.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I quit that gig of policing. The bad thing is, since then, I can't find a good donut anywhere. They just taste a little different now. Amen. But we are certainly honored to be here in Paris with all of you. Amen. I give honor to Pastor and Sister Meyer, all the ministry of this church. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for my beautiful wife, our three kiddos, and that is the end. Three of them. Amen. We are done with that phase of our life, and we're thanking God for it. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 14. And we'll begin in verse number 14. I'll be reading from the King James Version of Matthew 14 and verse number 14. I wouldn't begin to start calling names across this place, because after her and I have been together for 14 years and married 13, I know many of you, some I do not, but I don't want to leave anybody out and offend anybody. We are living in an age and a day of easily offended folks, and so I dare not tread those waters and offend anybody. But to all of you that I know and love, I love you, appreciate you. To those that I haven't met, I look forward to meeting you. But I do want to give honor to Nami today. I love and appreciate Nami, so thankful for her. Amen. My wife's family that's here today. Amen. Sister Callan, thank you and your team. Phenomenal. That doesn't mean quit just yet. Just stay with me a little bit. But thank you for leading us in worship. Amen. So wonderfully this morning. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14 and verse number 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or buy food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. I'll pause right here and tell us, in the current church culture, sometimes we depart from the house in the presence of God a little too soon. We depart that prayer, we depart that worship, we depart the moves of God's Spirit just a moment too soon. The church was ready to go, the disciples were ready to go. It's time for lunch, but Jesus said, they need not depart right now. Give you them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude in verse 19 to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and he brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments. Somebody say that word, fragments. That remained 12 baskets full. And when they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women, and children. I know with the reading of this passage, to many that have been around church at any time at all, you think that I am getting ready to go into just a Sunday school lesson. But hear me today. I believe that there is a great spirit of restoration and redemption in this room this morning. I'll endeavor by the help of the Holy Ghost to preach to you from this thought. Remember the fragments. Would you look at your neighbor before you're seated and just tell them those words. Remember the fragments. And give the Lord a hand clap of praise all across this house. God bless you, and you may be seated if you promise to help me preach. Amen. 100% cooperation, Brother Darren. That's what I like. You and I have just entered a verbal agreement. You're going to help me preach, and I'm going to preach. And if you'll help me preach, we'll preach quick, and we'll let God's Spirit do whatever He wants to do. But rest assured today, every time we walk into this house, God has a plan and a purpose. And it goes further beyond just fulfilling a moral obligation of saying I went to church to appeal to my conscience and to ease my mind. But on this Sunday morning, I don't know what you come needing. I don't know what you come expecting. But I come today expecting a move of God's Spirit. I've come this morning expecting to see not only His Spirit fill the house, but I believe this morning cancer can be healed. You've come too late to tell me it don't happen. I laid hands on an 11-year-old girl. Confirmed radiology report showed cancer. She tracked me down, Brother Stephen, and she said, cancer is no longer in my body. Furthermore, not a little girl story, but a man that led this service that was diagnosed with cancer at one time, but stands in a pulpit and declares the word of God, healed of cancer. You've come too late to tell me that my God's not able. I've come today to stand flat-footed in the face of the enemy and say, God's still able to heal, God's still able to deliver, and God's still able to restore. If you need the Holy Ghost, today would be a good day to get it. If you need to get it again, He'll renew you today. If you need a miracle in your body, you're at the right place at the right time. Now Jesus, here in our opening text, as He is with the disciples, and a great multitude, the Bible says, is following Him. And we just rush through this passage of Scripture, and we find ourselves at the miracle of Him taking such a small portion of a meal and feeding such a vast multitude with it. But we never really truly understand the setting that this is all taking place in. Jesus at this time had just received the news that John had been beheaded. Jesus has just found out that one of His very own has now been killed, and Jesus was going off into a desert place to be alone when He observes a crowd of people that were still willing to follow Him. I understand with a crowd this size, and it's no revelation of God's Spirit to know that where there are people, there are problems. There are desert places here today. There are those that find themselves on the mountaintop of victory. You're living in the blessings and the overflow of God right now. There are people that are making the treacherous climb out of the pits of which maybe you had fallen and on your way to that victory. And there are some that find themselves this morning in that valley. But rest assured today, whether you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, the same God of the victory is the same God of the valley. I'm reminded of an old song this morning about the blood, that it still reaches to the highest mountain and it still flows to the lowest valley. I've come to tell you this morning, Paris, no matter where you find yourself, the Bible says He is with you always, even until the ends of the earth. So Jesus was in this desert place. having received the news of the death of John, and he is going off to be alone, and yet he recognizes that there is this group of people that has decided that we are going to follow him wherever he goes. That's where we're going to go, because we know that where he is, there is something that is going to happen. And all across this room today, testimony after testimony after testimony, that when I got into the presence of God, something got a hold of me, something happened, something changed. And it's why you still sit here today. For the majority of your reasoning is because you know that where he is, something is going to happen. And this group of people have made up in their mind what you and I need to make up in our mind today, is that no matter if it's a good day or a bad day, I'm going to follow him. Whether I'm on that mountain or I'm in that valley, I'm going to follow him. Whether it's a desert place or it's a beautiful rainforest, I am going to. I've come today to punch culture in its face and tell you we need to get back to the old paths. We've got to get back to the straight is the way and narrow is the gate. Somebody hear me today. We don't need to just play church. We need to be the church. Not only inside the confines of the four walls, but we need to remember today that the same God that healed us then is the same God that can heal us now. I know I asked you to help me preach, but I'm going to preach whether you help me or not. I got my help here this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room, and I've come to tell somebody today, if you'll remember what got you here, you'll know what's going to take you the next step further. If you'll remember when you walked into this place and you didn't have anything to your name and you were broken, busted, and disgusted, lost in sin and choices that you made, and yet you found a God that loved you anyway. If you'll remember the God that brought you out of the pit and put you on a rock to stay, that same God that did it then is the same God that's doing it now. Somebody's just got to remember, before you became a professional Pentecost, you were a soul that was hungry. You were a soul that was thirsty. You were a life that was empty and without form and void. And God filled that place. Again, we see Jesus feed a multitude, this time of over 4,000 people, in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. And again, Jesus healed. The Bible says that they brought before him those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. In verse 32, the Bible says, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. Both times, both miracles, both instances of this feeding of the mass multitude. See, church and eating go together. You go to church, you go eat. You're on your way to church, you go home, you eat. It just happens. This isn't nothing new. We didn't come up with it. We ain't the only ones that do this. This is biblical. You go to church, and then you go eat. And when we get done, I'm hoping to go eat. I'm not even a quarter of the way through. I'm already getting hungry because I'm just talking about food. I'm of the mindset that hungry's got nothing to do with it. I just like to eat. I don't even have to be hungry. Let's just go eat. But the Bible says that he had compassion on them. Is there anybody thankful today for the compassion and the mercy of God? What you didn't realize, maybe you did, but some of you didn't. When you woke up this morning, his compassion is for you. His mercy was made new today. But the Bible said that Jesus saw them following him, or because they continued with him. If you want to invoke the compassion of God on your life, then you need to just continue to follow him. You just need to make up in your mind, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to follow him. No matter what they may say about me, no matter what's going on in current culture, no matter what's going on in the popularity contest of society, I have made up my mind that I am going to follow him. We've got to realize today where we stand and where we are living. We are living in the last days. Every prophecy of the word of God has been fulfilled except the coming of the Lord. But soon and very soon, there's going to be a sounding of a trumpet, and God's coming back for his bride. And I want to be found following him. I don't want to be found, Brother Stephen, following the trends of society, following the trends of social economics. But what I want to be found is following him into the prayer room. I want to be found following him into the house of worship. I want to be found following him every day of my life. This time in the miracle, instead of five loaves and two fish, they had seven loaves and a few little fish. And the Bible states that Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down. And he takes the seven loaves and the few fish. And he gives thanks and then he breaks them. And he gave to his disciples then to give to the multitude. And when they were finished eating again, they were all filled. And the Bible said they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. You see, in both instances, Jesus did not just give them a little bit to sustain them. He did not give them a little bit to snack on, to hold them over. But what he did in both scriptures, both passages, chapter 14 and 15, the Bible said they did eat and were all filled. Hey, what God does best is when he fills the room, he can fill every empty heart. He can heal every mind. He can touch everybody. Not only was it a miracle to feed them, that many people, with so little of a food, but he also provided enough for his disciples. You see, God's not interested in the church manufacturing miracles. We don't have to manufacture anything. God said, let there be, and it was. God began to speak and the earth was formed. God said, let there be, and stars filled the sky. He said, let the land separate from the water, and it happened. God don't need you and I to manufacture something in the house of God. God just needs us to distribute the food he's providing. God just needs us to distribute the love of Christ. He just needs us to distribute the peace of mind. He needs us to distribute the joy of the Spirit. Somebody hear me today. You don't have to manufacture your own way out of your dilemma. You just got to be the one that says, God, I'll supply the need. You supply the promise. God, I'll present. Hey, Brother Stephen, you talked about God accepting our problems. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, laying aside every weight and sin. But Brother Tanner, a great misconception about that is we think every weight is sin. But the Bible said lay aside every weight, and they are separate. Not all the weight that you carry is sin. Some of you are dealing with weights of torment in your mind, been a prisoner of your own thoughts for months now. You lay down in bed in torment, and you're living every way you know to live right for God. You're showing up faithfully. You're praying faithfully. You're giving faithfully. You're being a part of everything you can be a part of, but yet there is still this weight. I've come to tell you today that not all weight is sin, but God wants you to lay down the weight of guilt. He wants you to lay down the weight of depression. He wants you to lay down the weight of shame that the enemy's been holding over you. Your head. And the good news is, if some of that is sin, he still forgives sin. We're of this mindset that the altar has become this place of social gathering. The altar has become this place that we got to stay far away from. But there are very many of you in this room today that if I asked you to take me to the place where God filled you with the Spirit, it may be in that old building over across the hall there, or maybe even in this very room, but I dare say that you could take me to the place, and 9.5 times out of 10, it's going to be in an altar. The altar is not a place of guilt and condemnation. The altar is a place of healing and restoration. The altar is a place of saving. The altar is a place. The beauty of the altar is we can make an ugly sacrifice of sin and God gives us salvation. We can bring our broken pieces and watch God make masterpieces. We, like the disciples, are God's people, and sometimes we often feel that we have very little to bring God. Many of us today, if I asked for a show of hands, would say, I don't really have anything to offer God, or I've got very little to offer God, and I don't have what so-and-so may have, and I can't do what so-and-so may do. God didn't ask you to give what so-and-so gives. He didn't ask you to be who so-and-so is, but I assure you today that if you'll take that little bit and you will supply, God don't need you to be the multiplier. If you'll supply him the little bit, if you'll supply him just a few fish and some loaves of bread, he will bless it, he will break it, and he will multiply it. If you continue to read the stories of how Jesus provided food for the multitudes in all four gospels, you'd see that shortly after the disciples were in a ship and they were on their way to the land of the Pharisees, in the book of Mark chapter 8. Bible says in Mark 8 and verse number 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember? Verse 19, when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven amongst the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Jesus was not warning them of their forgetfulness for not bringing bread of the literal bread, but what he was warning them about was the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of their spirits and what was going on. Jesus was letting them know a classic saying here, that it does matter who you hang out with. It does matter who you associate yourself with. I understand today where I stand, and respectfully I submit to you that your environment eventually gets in inside of you. Your environment eventually becomes a part of you. And some of you are exposing yourself to things you got no business exposing yourself to. And you wonder why when you walk in the house of God, you can't freely lift your hands. You can't freely find the peace and the freedom that you need. It's because there's an environment of leaven around you that is trying to deceive you, destroy you, and distract you. It's as old as the tale of the first two people that God put on the face of the earth, Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They had a perfect place. Everything was right. And they only had two rules. I guess really just one. How many young people just wish you had just one rule to live by at home? Yeah, see, they're about to help me preach now. Amen. Some of them were very tempted to turn around and look at mom and daddy. Hear him. Hear the man of God right now, mama. We just need one rule. Well, you see, what happened was, is we focus on the bite of the fruit because that's where it went wrong, right? No. Where it went wrong is Adam and Eve started entertaining a voice they had no business entertaining. It was a subtle serpent that came sneaking in that day and just began to slowly whisper, just began to slowly. It was innocent conversation, and that's where it went wrong. The fruition of Satan's plan was the bite of the fruit. I've come to tell some of you today, there are voices through the series that you are watching, through the things that you are listening, and the environment that you are keeping. It may seem harmless in the moment, but it's a subtle serpent that is creeping in and is trying to not only destroy you and your family, but it's trying to divide you from the house of God. And we have got to rid ourselves today of distractions that will lead us to destruction, because we've got baskets full of fragments that God has brought us through. God has brought us out. God has set us free. God didn't set you free from sin to sit you still, but he set you free so that we can reach our friends, so that we can love our city, so that we can reach our officials, so that we can reach the outreaching and ever-reaching arms of God. Jesus was asking his disciples as they began to reason amongst themselves. He was asking them, Pastor Meyer, do you not remember what just happened back there? Do you not remember what I have recently done for you? Do you not remember what I am able to do? They began to reason that it was because they had no bread. But Jesus said, I call to your remembrance today. Do you remember when they had just the two fish and the five loaves? And he fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. You could do the math all day long if you want to. It was a big crowd. I'm from Deweyville, Texas, a little 2A school. I'm convinced my mama and daddy paid my teachers to get me through school, so I'm not about to start multiplying. I just know that if you got 5,000 and each one of them was married, it just got big. Not counting the women, they would just say it redneck style, a whole bunch of them. He said, do you not remember when what you thought, little boy, was insignificant, When you thought, young man, that you wasn't able to provide nothing, when you thought you were too young, when you thought you didn't have what it took, do you remember, mom and dad, when you come walking into this place and your family was a wreck? Do you remember when you walked into this place and your mind was in torment? Do you remember the fragmented pieces of the miracles that God has performed in this church? If God's ever done anything for you, you ought to give him some praise in this room right now and say, I still remember when he touched my body. I still remembered when he saved my soul. I still remember when he blessed me with this job I don't deserve. I still remember when he gave me a financial blessing. I still remember when he opened the door that seemed to be shut and made a way where there seemed to be no way. When you start to remember the fragments, you remember verses like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When you remember the fragments, you'll remember that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. When you remember the fragments, you will remember, if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm not intimidated by any spirit of hell, because they've got to fight my Father, and my God's never lost a battle. He's never been defeated, and he's never been. I remember today just who he is and what he can do. See, some of us, we're not bad people, we just got bad memory. And it's easy in the day and the hour in which we're living in to just get caught up in the go with the flow. And we've learned how to be Pentecostal. We've learned how to be in the presence of God and never be moved by the Spirit of God. I'm going to walk carefully, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. Do you remember what your praise looked like before you became dignified? Do you remember what church services used to be like before we learned the song and the dance? When all you know is, I don't know what this Pentecost stuff is, but all I know is I feel something I've never felt before. Do you remember what it felt like? Hey, whether you were raised in the church or you were raised in the drug dealer's house, every man, every woman, every boy and girl was born in sin and shaping into iniquity, and every one of us had to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I still remember the age of 12 years old as a boy standing in kids' church. Mom and daddy, you need to make sure your babies are in the house of God. Furthermore, daddy, you need to make sure you lead your family to the house of God. You need to make sure you lead your family in worship. It's not just the women's job or the children's job just because they're more sensitive and more emotional, but it's our God-given right and our God-given call as men to lead our family into the presence of God, to lead our family how to love God, how to serve God. 12 years old, I was standing in kids' church doing Adventures in Odyssey. How many of you know what Adventures in Odyssey is? Sister Kylie, I still listen to Adventures in Odyssey to this day. Don't think that what's happening across the room is not important. Don't think it's just about snack time and a free babysitter while you're sitting in the house of God going through the motions that you go through every Sunday and every Wednesday. But what's happening over there is just vitally important as what's happening over here. And God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in kids' church at 12 years old. I can still tell you today what that felt like. I can still tell you today what it felt like when my pastor took me and he said, I want you to take your right hand and grab your nose. And I want you to take your left hand and grab your wrist. And I'm going to put you under the water in the name of Jesus, and when you come up, all your sins are going to be white. I can tell you what it felt like when he said, upon the authority of the word of God and the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. For the minute when I came out of that water, I was set free. My life was changed. I had been delivered. Somebody in this room today, you need to remember, you hadn't always been where you are right now. You hadn't always been dignified. You hadn't always been put together. You hadn't always been perfect, but when you remember, see, we always think it's the whole meal, but he fed the disciples with the fragments. If it wasn't for the broken pieces, the basket could have never been full. Your broken pieces do not disqualify you, but if you'll gather them up, he can fill you up to overflowing. The brokenness doesn't turn God's love away from us, but it draws God to us. Somebody hear me today, it's not over just because it's broken. You need to pick up the pieces and fill the basket back up. This is in here, and my mind had jogged me back to what you had faced as a young man, Brother Stephen. I don't mean to embarrass you by no means, and I don't think that I will, but here as I had typed into my notes, when you remember the fragments, when you pick up the broken pieces and you remember what God's able to do, then you tap into a place that says cancer can be healed, diabetes can be healed, jobs can be given, financial blessings can flow, mercies are made new, joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you will just remember, every single battle that you and I face in life is won and lost in the mind. The very first thing the Bible talks about when we war not against the flesh but the things of the spirit says that we are to cast down the imagination. He deals with the mind first. It's a mindset. Either you can, and pardon this, it's not proper English, or you can't. Either way, you're 100% right. Either you're going to get up and you're going to fight again, because when you remember the fragments, you'll start remembering scriptures like a just man falls 7 and gets up 8. You'll remember scriptures like, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Let me tell you something. It's not over just because you sin again. God don't throw you away just because you mess up. God don't throw you away just because you're not perfect. Matter of fact, if you're perfect, God bless you, you're dismissed. We'll see you whenever you want to come back. Pastor, not one person got up and left. Now, I know contrary to her opinion, my wife, I'm not perfect. I know she thinks I am. But Sister Kyron, I just got to break it to her, I'm not. I hate to disappoint her that way. I'm just not as perfect as she thinks. But you know what? Neither are you. Can we just let the wall down today? Can we just be people? Can we just be real and say, you know what? I've got problems. I've got struggles. But the false reality of current culture of church society is this is perfect people who's got it all together, who's doing everything right, that we're living in the blessings and the overflow, and we don't have any issues. The devil is a lie. And so is anybody else that thinks that. But the reality is, this is a group of imperfect people that are striving to love a perfect God, to live a better life than I lived when I was out in the world, that when I messed up, I found a place to be restored, and when I fell short of the glory, I found a way to pick the pieces up. I know you thought I've been in the church since I was 12 years old because I talked about getting the Holy Ghost at the age of 12 years old, but there was a span of several years, Brother Tanner, that I ran from God. I backslid with the call of God on my life from the age of 13 years old. I ran as far and as hard as I could. I tried anything I could get my hands on. I've done many of things that I'm not proud to stand here and say I have done. Let me tell you something. God don't let you remember your past so the enemy can hold it over your head. The only reason God lets you remember your past is so you can stand on this side of the blood and say, thank God, I remember who I used to be and I am no longer that person. When you remember the fragments, God still delivers drug addiction. God still breaks the chains of perversion. God still breaks the chains of the calamities that you have. I just need somebody to remember the fragments. I just need somebody in this room today to remember your failures do not disqualify you. But the Bible said that Jesus come looking for whom he may. He's seeking the lost that he can save them. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come so that we could have the biggest houses and the nicest cars. He didn't come so that we could live in the financial overflow because God is great. If that was the case, then there wouldn't be people sitting here today praying and say, God, I need you to make a way because I don't know how that bill is going to get paid. But you know what the beauty of that prayer is? I've heard testimony after testimony. When I didn't know how it was going to happen, all of a sudden there was a knock on the door. All of a sudden there was a check in the mailbox. All of a sudden something happened. I've come to tell somebody today, it may seem like a broken bunch of fragments, but the disciples in both instances filled a basket full of fragments, and God supplied them with enough. Don't turn your nose up at it just because it's broken. Gather the pieces and watch God multiply. Gather the pieces and watch God work it out. Gather the pieces and watch God heal your mind. Watch. I know we preach physical miracles, but there are people in this room today that you need mental and emotional healing like never before. I've come to tell you today that He's still the God of peace. He's still the God of joy. He's still the God of power and dominion over the spirit of fear. If you'll remember the fragments, you'll remember the word that says, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When you remember the fragments, you'll remember saying to God, when you had no peace, and then all of a sudden a peace that passes understanding comes over you. You'll remember when you had nowhere to turn and you were lost when He found you. You'll remember the fragments of finding something that finally filled the emptiness and the void. Brother Meyer, I'm not tall enough to display how sick I am of religion. You know they always say I've had it up to here? I'd have to get Brother Aaron up here to stand on my shoulders so that I could show y'all how sick and tired of where I've had it up to here with religion. I'm going to turn this way because I might get in trouble for what I'm about to say. And if so, he's going to have a way to come get the microphone. I hate religion. Oh, preacher, you can't say that. Oh, I can say that, and I did. Because what I have is not a religion. What I have is a memory of an experience of when I was lost, He found me, an experience when I was sick and tired of searching, I was sick and tired of dry, dead church that did nothing for me, that did nothing for my family, but I walked into an apostolic church where there were people dancing, people shouting, people running the aisles, people screaming and leaping for joy. Hey, this ain't crazy, it's biblical. Hey, I've come to tell somebody today, it's still in order for the church to clap their hands. It's still in order for the church to lift their voice with a shout of triumph unto God. Hey, if they can sit by the thousands in a ball stadium and clap and scream for a man that ain't done nothing, I can leap for a man that forgave me of addiction. I can run an aisle because he delivered me of alcohol. I can shout for joy because he set me free. When you remember the fragments, it don't matter what it looks like. When you remember the fragments, it don't matter what it sounds like. Sister Meyer, I'm full of them old songs this morning. You don't know like I know what he's done for me, and you can't tell it like I tell it how he set me free. When I remember where he brought me from to where I am now, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, somebody in this house this morning, you need to remember how good he's been. You need to remember how much he's done. I know you're going through the fire, but guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to go. He's the God in the fire. He's the God in the lion's den, Daniel. He's the God at the riverbank, Moses. He's the God, Joseph, that'll lead you to a pit, that'll lead you to a prison, and then lead you to the palace. Somebody needs to remember the fragments. Go ahead, Paris. Remember what he's done for you. Remember when he found you. Remember when he supplied the need. Remember when the doctor said we can't do no more and healing virtue flowed. It'll be real okay right now for somebody to let the Holy Ghost move on you. It'll be real good for somebody to remember before you got the promotion, before you had what you got, before you became reputable and who you are now, that we were all a bunch of lost nobodies, and God found us, and God saved us, and God's blessed us. Sister Callan, you can go ahead and come back. Just the keys right now. We'll get singers and musicians here in just a minute. Somebody hear me today. It's not the will of God for you to look at your life in broken shambles and pieces and say it's all hopeless and it's all over. But what is the will of God this morning is for somebody to remember. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know, ma'am, you feel like you're in the valley of isolation right now. You are not isolated and alone, but God is with you. God is fighting for you. And this morning, we will push back the gates of hell. I'm not intimidated by one spirit this morning because God has given me power and authority and dominion through his word and his name. Somebody just needs to remember what the Bible said when he said, you will be endued with power from on high. And after you receive the Holy Ghost, power. Is there anybody in this room today, by show of hand, that God has physically healed your body? Please help me right now. I want y'all to look around. Don't just look around at the hands. You know what those are? Fragments. I wonder if about four or five of you come stand right here, that God's physically touched your body. I've got more notes, but the Holy Ghost is moving. We ain't worried about notes at this moment. I wonder if I got four or five of you that God's provided financially for you, that you'd come stand right here. Oh, preacher, you done fell off your rocker. Maybe so. Maybe so. I wonder if there's anybody that God's ever delivered your mind. Depression, fear, anxiety, mental struggles. I want you to come stand right here in the middle for me. Preacher, what are you doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm gathering the fragments. Musicians and singers, before you come, hear me. Do not be so tied to your ministry that you miss your miracle today. I understand the struggle for those that are called to those places of ministry. But if you need something from God this morning, I wouldn't dare come to an instrument. I wouldn't dare come pick up a microphone. Because what's fixing to happen is God's fixing to pour his spirit out in this room. And all across this place, needs are going to be met. Pastor Meyer, they're thinking, what is he doing? He's crazy. I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm gathering the fragments. Piece by piece. Life by life. Testimony by testimony. What are you doing, Seth? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm gathering the fragments to let everybody in this room know the basket's still full. When you gather piece by piece, you see, your story and my story is not the same. But when we pick up the pieces, together we overcome. Together we make it through. Together we stand as one. Together we conquer the chains. Together we tear down the walls. Somebody ought to just lift your hands across this house and start remembering. Start picking up the pieces right now. Come on, somebody. It's not the will he katarobosha. It's not the will of God for your depression to linger around. Brother Morton, if you don't mind, y'all can kill the live stream. God's fixing to do a personal work in this house this morning. And I believe that there are going to be great things happen in this room. You don't have to be afraid. It's just us together in the spirit of God that's moving in this room this morning. I know you felt like God forsook you. I know you feel like you're alone in your dilemma. I know you feel like that's a lie of the enemy, but I'm calling to your remembrance this morning. Do you remember when he provided? Do you remember how he blessed and he broke the fish and the loaves? Do you remember when the doctor's report wasn't favorable, but yet you're still standing? Do you remember when the enemy tried to take you out, but God raised up a standard? The Bible says that the enemy will come in one way and be scattered out seven. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. I know I'm not saying everything's got to be perfect. I'm just telling you, remember the fragments. All across across this room, whether you're in the front or the back, I wish you'd lift your hands and close your eyes and just begin to cry out unto God. Some of you have been silently suffering for months now because we put on this persona and we put up this front that I've got to tell everybody everything's fine. I got to tell everybody I'm okay. Nothing's bothering me. I'm not struggling. It's not weakness that causes us to hold that back. For in our weakness, He is made strong. Hear me today, saint of God. Hear me today, visitor. It's okay to not be okay. We've got to get rid of the lies and the false mentality and ideology that says I've got to put up a front when I come to the house of God. It's okay to walk in here broken. It's okay to walk in here with sin in your life. It's okay to walk in here struggling in your marriage. It's okay to walk in here struggling in your finances. Just as long as you don't leave that way. Your broken pieces belong here. But pick them up and put them back in the basket. Come on, all across this house. I'm done. Holy Ghost is moving right now. Somebody that's been holding it back, you ought to just pour it out right now. Because what happens is when you lay aside every weight and sin, when you let go, you now free yourself to receive. When you release, you say, God, I'm letting go. And now I'm ready. I release the struggle and I receive the help. I release the torment and I receive the peace. I release what's been holding me back and I'm open to what's going to set me free. Would you open your mouth, your mind, and your heart and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost? Come on, somebody, continue with Him. Follow Him and watch His compassion. Watch what He does in this room. Ministry team, if you're not praying, help me pray right now. There are lives all across this front. God's gathering up the fragments. God's gathering up the broken. And He's going to fill the basket. He's going to make the way. He's going to give peace. He's going to give joy. He's going to deliver of the depression. He's going to give the financial blessing. If you'll just remember. Somebody, don't just drift off into the music right now. Don't just drift off into the singing. You ought to release right now. Let it flow right now. Let the Spirit of God touch. Let Him minister to you.
Come on, somebody all across this room. I feel the spirit of guilt and shame trying to rise up against somebody. But God did not bring you to this place to condemn you today, but he brought you to give you the peace you've been looking for. He brought you to restore your joy. It's not condemnation that you're walking out of here with. It's not guilt that you're going to leave here with, but it's going to be joy unspeakable. And somebody's freedom's in this room. Somebody's deliverance is in this house. If you will just open your mouth and begin to pray and begin to rejoice and begin to seek him, I'm telling you, by authority in the Holy Ghost, God will heal your mind. God will restore your joy. God will heal your emotions. I wish for just the next few moments we can rear back and be apostolic and let the Spirit of God sweep across this room. Suicide is not the answer. Drugs and alcohol is not. I curse the spirit that says to kill yourself. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. I need some prayer warriors to start praying right now. I need some intercessory to start interceding, because there's people in this altar right now that the voices of the enemy said, just quit. Just give up. Not only quit going to church, but why don't you quit life altogether? Why don't you just give up altogether? I've come to tell somebody that is not your answer, but Jesus is the answer. And what he's about to do in this room. Fear is not my future. I got news for you. The devil don't get to say so around here. We do, and God does. I take dominion and authority over every spirit of hell. Somebody just lift your hands. That's it, you got your hands. Now let your voice go. The cry that's on the inside, let it manifest through your voice. Let it manifest through your mouth. I'm like Paul today. I'm not ashamed because I remember. Come on, Paul. Remember when you were Saul. Remember the road to Damascus. Come on, David. I know the fall into sin wasn't pretty, David, but he still became a man after God's own heart. Remember the fragments. That's it. Somebody let it break in this room. There's a demonstration of God's power sweeping across this room. Come on, don't depart too soon. Don't depart. That's what he said to his disciples. They need not depart. Because what's fixing to happen can't happen in just 2 or 3 seconds. You know what's happening right now? There's a desperation of a beggar rising up in somebody. Because you see, we rush through the story of blind Bartimaeus and we think that that's what Jesus was there for. But the Bible says that Jesus was passing through. Jesus wasn't there for Bartimaeus and he wasn't there for the lady with the issue of blood. But two different people let a desperation inside of them compel him to stop and heal them. And when your desperation for God's touch exceeds the opinion of those standing around you. Some of you hadn't done what you want to do because people you work with are here. Some of you haven't done what you want to do because there's people standing beside you that know your failures. And if you're that person on your high horse, looking down your judgmental nose of condemnation, then I dare say you need to be in the altar with us. I, I'm going to get out of the way. God's not done. But I'm going to tell you something. Being a part of the church and having the Holy Ghost don't make you better than anybody other than the man you used to be. And just because you may know my failures doesn't mean you're going to stop my restoration. Just because you know my mistakes and my follies doesn't mean I'm going to let you rob me of my ability to praise, of my ability to lift up my voice. If you're not dead, God's not done. If you're not buried, God's not abandoned. Hear me today. If you have fallen, get up. If you have messed up, get up. If you've made mistakes, get up and remember the fragments. Come on, all across this house, somebody release. All across this room, somebody pray. All across this room, somebody get your miracle. Cry the Lord louder, Bartimaeus. I know the church is saying be quiet. I know the disciples say send him away.